Blessed Calvary, blessed Calvary. I look at the cross upon Calvary, and oh, what a wonder divine to think of the wealth it holds for me, the riches of heaven are mine. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'neath thy shadow I'll ever abide. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'twas there Jesus suffered and died. I find at the cross blessed victory and grace for each step of my way. The fount of God's love is flowing free, and sweeter it grows day by day. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'neath thy shadow I'll ever abide. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'twas there Jesus suffered and died. The cross is my hope for eternity. No merit have I of my own. The shed blood of Christ, my only plea. My trust is in Jesus alone. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'neath thy shadow I'll ever abide. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'twas there Jesus suffered and died. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, 'twas there Jesus suffered and died.
Good to see everybody here today. I'll give announcements right down here. We got evening service tonight, 6:30. Come on out, be here for that. 6:30 tonight, good song service. And we're studying the book of Hebrews, verse by verse. And we're going to be looking at the faith of Moses tonight. So come on out and be here tonight and bring your Bibles. We study God's word here at Ray Street Baptist Church. Right, Bill? That's what we do here. Amen. All right. Let's see. Coming up on Saturday, October 10, we're going to have an all-church breakfast in the morning, Saturday morning. That's a Saturday, 9 o'clock, and you're bringing the food. All right? So be thinking of what you're going to make and bring, and we'll just enjoy eating it when you bring it, okay? And that's everybody. Try and bring something, and we'll just have a good time. I think that's it. Our offering box is on that side of the auditorium as the Lord leads you to give. Place your money in there before and after the service. That's the way we take the offering here at Ray Street Baptist Church. And good to have visitors here with us today. We got Connie in the back there with Francis and Alicia and Aaliyah with us here this morning. And let's see, who else do I see here? We got Craig and Tashan here, the famous newlywed couple. Oh boy, they're just having a good time. All right, so good to have you guys with us. And let's see, did I catch everybody? I think that's it. I got my Uncle David, my Uncle Tommy, and Aunt Eunice. They're here this morning with us. And so, good to see each of you here today. Let's have a good time of fellowship. And I hope the songs bless your heart and encourage you in the things of the Lord. And then we'll take a look at the Word of God a little bit later. Okay, Ralph.
All right, you're singing number 93. Number You are outside.
never here to awake again. But everything was all right between her and him. So she awoke in heaven's courtyard, free from pain within. The angels gathered round her, and they took her by the hand, serenaded by angels.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. As we continue our verse-by-verse study in this great gospel of Matthew, which presents Jesus as the King. And the last event that took place was the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. If you remember, he sat on a donkey. And the people gathered and spread their garments and cut down branches and strawed them in the way. And they cried out and said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And it wouldn't be but a week later they'd be crucifying him on the cross. Hard to believe, huh? Hard to believe. But that's exactly how men are, and that's what they would do. The Lord Jesus Christ, then, after he cleaned out the temple, if you remember that, cleaned out the temple, cast out all the money changers and everything, then he spoke with the Pharisees who questioned him as to his authority to do such things, and he gives them seven parables, seven stories. One we've already seen. Today we want to look at another one here, starting in Matthew 21 and verse 33. The parable of the householder, they call it, and it has to do with a vineyard. Now, let's just read this, and we'll talk about this. Matthew 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. The Lord is speaking. If you have a red letter edition printed, red letter printed Bible, it should be in red, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ is talking. Here, another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husband and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son. I hope that as you read that, you can compare who that is. Who's Jesus talking about? His son would be a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's continue on. Verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And so the individuals standing nearby and listening to the Lord Jesus Christ give this story, they answer. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now that's a direct quote from Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23. So he refers to scripture here to give them the understanding of why he said this story to them. Verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. I'm going to call this the rejected cornerstone. The rejected cornerstone. And what do we see here in this parable? It's another of the seven parables concerning the recipients of the kingdom. He's talking about his kingdom to come and how things will be. And the interpretation of this parable has to be this. The householder would be God the Father up in heaven. And he has done great things. He has planted a vineyard. And I believe this vineyard and the wine press and the tower and everything speaks of God's protection, provision, and providence over the nation of Israel. He gives this story to them because that's who he's talking to. He's talking to the nation of Israel. God the Father planted a vineyard. And throughout the Bible, Israel is spoken of as a vineyard. And so they understand what he's saying here, or they should understand. I believe they did, because in verse 45, the Pharisees said, he's talking about us. And he certainly was. So I believe they understood some of these things here. The hedge, the wine press, the tower, the vineyard speaks of God's watch care over Israel. The husbandmen that he sets up in this vineyard to take care of the vineyard, like the farmers or the vine dressers that they should be, are the spiritual leaders of Israel. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests and the scribes, these are the spiritual leaders, even the king, are the spiritual leaders of Israel. Then it says, after he had done all this, he, the householder, who is like God the Father, went into a far country and went away. And when the time of the fruit comes by, he sends his servants to go and harvest up the fruit. Now, who would they be? I believe those servants, and talked about here, and we'll mention them here, are the prophets of God, whom God sent to Israel to try to gather the fruit of their faith, which should be in the Father and in His Son and in all the salvation that He's provided for them. They should have been accepting of the Heavenly Father, but they don't. What happens? These servants come, in verse 33, it says, they took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned another, and then he sent another group to them, and they did the same thing to them. These represent the prophets of God, such as Jeremiah of the Old Testament. Jeremiah came to Israel with a message, and they would not receive him. And they treated him terribly. Isaiah came. Elijah came. Elisha came. And the children of Israel did to them just like in this parable here. They wouldn't listen to them. They stoned some. Zechariah they stoned, according to 2 Chronicles 24. Even John the Baptist was not accepted by the spiritual leaders of Israel. The people gladly received him, but the spiritual leaders did not receive John the Baptist. Then finally, the Father says, I'll send my Son. Why, they'll certainly respect him, my Son. And Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And you know what they did to him. When his ministry was all over, they crucified him on the cross. Now, I know the Roman government and the Pilate and all did that, but the people of Israel were right behind it as well, saying, crucify him, crucify him. For see, he had come to redeem them from their sins, and that they did not want to hear, that they were sinners in need of a Savior. They wanted someone to come who will say, everything you're doing is fine, almost like this guy down in Philadelphia in the last couple days. He says, everything they want to hear, except what they need to hear. And in fact, rather than putting himself up as the one who can help them out, he ought to be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ only and his shed blood only on the cross many years ago. But he won't do that. He'll try to gather them all into the church and through the works of the church, try to help them if they think that through all those things they can gain heaven. And they cannot. Oh, that we would hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. We don't need to hear about climate change. We don't need to hear about the woes of abortion. We all understand that. We don't need to hear what the government's doing and why they should do this or that. By the way, he talks about taking care of the poor. Where's the money coming from the Vatican to feed the poor? They want the government to do it. They ought to send some of the Vatican billions over to feed the poor. But I don't see that happening. But I hear Marxist cries for the government to take from those who have and give to those who have not. And that's the thing that you hear. You know what the Lord said? The poor you will have with you always, but me you will not always have. Now, I don't think he was saying, you know, let the poor just stick it out on their own or whatever, you know. We should be willing to help them and take care of them ourselves. Individually, we should be doing that. It's not the job of the Roman government to do that. It's the job of us, all of us, to take care of those who have need. But that's the message you hear. And the Father up in heaven said, I'll send my Son. And oh, how we need to hear about the Son. We need to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear about him because he's the answer. But what did they do? When they saw him, they said among themselves, interestingly enough, they said among themselves, this is the heir. They knew that. And he also has an inheritance. Let's kill him and take the inheritance. Oh, they were correct. Jesus is the heir. You know, everything belongs to him. He made everything. It all belongs to Jesus. And he someday is going to gather everything together under his own authority. That is going to take place. But these men did not want a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, Jesus came to save Israel from their sins. And then he would give them all the glories and the blessings. They wanted the glory and the blessings, but they did not want to repent of their sins. For they actually felt that they were good enough. They tried their best to keep the law. I wonder, might you be like that today? Do you think you're good enough to get to heaven? Well, I'm here as a minister of the gospel to tell you, nobody is good enough to get to heaven on your own. We're all sinners, and we need a Savior. And we need this Son whom the Father sent into the world, not only to save Israel, but to save everybody, whosoever will may come. And so what happens is the Lord ends the story with they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard. They cast him out of Israel like they did to Jesus, and they slew him like they did to him on the cross. And he ends the story and he asks the question, what will the Lord do when he comes into judgment to these spiritual leaders, these husbandmen? What will he do? Their answer, real quick, was back. Oh, he will miserably destroy those wicked men for killing the son of the husbandman. Then the Lord brings it right down to their heart. He says, I said this story for you, the very ones who just gave the judgment here, that he ought to miserably destroy these wicked men. And then he says to them, have ye never read? And then he opens up to them the scriptures, which is, and I want to take you there, Psalm 118. Go there if you would. I think it's just good for you to see these things in the Bible. Psalm 118, right in the middle of your Bible, you come to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. Now this is Old Testament. This was written before Jesus was even born. Hundreds of years before. And I believe it's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 118 and looking at verse 22. The psalmist writes this. The stone which the builders refused. Almost like the husbandmen who refused the father's son to come into the vineyard and get the fruit. They rejected him. Killed him and everything. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then here comes the verse following that a lot of us like to use. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Interesting that is connected right to this. For what I see here is the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Now, when Jesus would come, they would reject him and crucify him on the cross. How could he ever become the cornerstone unless he rise up from the what? The dead. You know what I was going to say. The resurrection is a vital doctrine to the gospel. Without it, the gospel has no power to save. But with it, it is victorious. And it's something every sinner who's going to die because of his sin needs to hear. That there is someone who died for your sins and rose again and is actually going to be now the cornerstone. Now you say, I don't see the word resurrection in that verse. The stone which the builders refuse has become the headstone of the corner. The only way that could happen is between this phrase, the stone which the builders refused, and that happened when they crucified Jesus on the cross. And he died. And for 3 days and three nights, he lay in that grave. For the next part of the verse is become the headstone of the corner. He's going to have to rise up again from the dead. If he's ever going to be the headstone, the cornerstone, he's going to have to come back to life. And that's why this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you know what? That verse, which we often just use to describe, we ought to be glad for the day we're alive and everything, really has reference to the day Jesus rose up from the grave. This is the day which the Lord hath made. He looked forward to this day when he would take his son, when the Father would take his son up out of that grave. You know, there are verses that says the Father will raise him up. Jesus even said, you can take my life from me and I can lay it down and I can take it back up again. And it also, the Bible tells us, that the Spirit quickened the Lord Jesus Christ. So all three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, are involved in raising Jesus back up from the dead. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me just ask you, and I'm not doing this to find out if you're here and not saved. I just want you to kind of just have the blessing to be able to make a testimony. If you're saved and you know it, raise your hand. All right. Okay. Put them back down. All right. I'm not doing that for any trick or anything like that. I just want you to be glad to be able to say, I'm saved. Do you know, it all depends upon the fact that Jesus triumphed over the grave. That you can sit here and say, I'm saved. Because if Jesus is dead in a grave somewhere, wherein are we going to have eternal life and salvation? How can we raise our hand if the one we're trusting is dead? But he's not dead. He's alive. And he's coming again. And he will miserably destroy these wicked men who reject him. That's going to happen. Did you ever hear of the doctrine of hell? That's what's going to happen. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. And by the way, if you've never trusted this Jesus as your personal Savior, that's where you're headed. And you need to realize you're a sinner and their sin is going to take it to hell. And you need to repent of it and say, I want something different than that. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he'll give you this everlasting life, and you'll be able to say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if I would ask you to raise your hand in answer to this, those of you who are saved and you're glad you're saved, raise your hand. Oh, you're doing it. Okay. All those who are saved and you're glad you're saved, raise your hand. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, and I know you will too if you've trusted in this rejected stone, this rejected cornerstone. The world's rejected him. That's why I look with great question when I see a man received by the whole world, gladly received by the whole world. Even my Savior didn't get a response like that. But I'm glad to hear that you've received him as your personal Savior. Now, all right, we read that in Psalm 118, right? That was a psalmist who wrote that about the cornerstone. He was refused, and now he's the head cornerstone. That's the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Would you go to the book of Acts, chapter 4? Acts, chapter 4. Peter, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he's been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to go preach the gospel of the eternal life through faith in this resurrected Savior. And here's what he says. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Look at what it says. Be it known unto you all. He's talking to the nation of Israel who has just refused the stone, the cornerstone. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, there's the resurrection, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He had just made a lame man whole. He said, we did that through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified, God raised up from the dead. And we're preaching about him now. Verse 11. Notice, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He quotes Psalm 118, where we just were. He brings it into view here and says, That verse is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You rejected him, Israel, and crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And it's through his name that we're preaching this gospel, and we even healed this lame man through his name. And then, this next verse. Everybody likes this, and I love it too, and I hope you do too. Neither is there salvation in any other. I don't care what the Muslims say, Muhammad can't save you. I don't care what the Hindus say, their many gods cannot save you. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know, there's no gospel like this in the whole world. Among all the religions that cover this earth, there's no gospel like this where God sends his son to die for us who are not worthy for him to even die. Sent his son to die for us and then raised him up from the grave and now presents him as your salvation, your savior, if you just trust him as your savior. There's no gospel like that. All the religions of the world have the people working hard to try to make themselves acceptable to whatever God they've portrayed. Salvation through Christ is you can't save yourself. You can't make yourself acceptable. In fact, God's done all the work of saving you for you. All you need to do is receive him and you will be saved, born again. Become a child of God. Have everlasting life. Now, okay. We saw that in Psalms. That's Old Testament. We see Peter right after the resurrection, the crucifixion, the resurrection, preaching the gospel, bringing that verse into view. Let's go down the road a little further and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's all the way toward the end of the New Testament, after Hebrews. You'll find 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 4, there's something else that's going to come into play with this rejected stone becoming the head cornerstone that you as a believer need to realize is a true thing going on even right now this very day. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming, and in the previous verse it talks about the Lord, all right, so verse 4, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. See, that's just what Psalm 118 says. But chosen of God and precious. So he refers to Jesus as a living stone. By the way, he's not a dead stone. He's a living stone. So there's your resurrection again. Now, here is a spiritual truth that you need to grab a hold of. If you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you need to grab a hold of this. Look at the next verse. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or confused. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he, and he's talking about the chief cornerstone, that's the living stone, that's Jesus Christ, raised up from the grave, is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, he brings in Psalm 118 again. The same is made the head of the corner. And now he talks about the response to this stone. It's variable. A stone of stumbling. That would be what Jesus is to Israel. They stumble over him. He came unto his own received him not. He showed himself to be their rightful Messiah. Fulfilled all the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, where he would be born, what he would do as his ministry, how he would die on the cross. Isaiah talks about that. How he would be buried, how he would rise again. and how he would gather Israel out from all the nations of the earth and make them great. He told them all these things. They should have received him, but they did not. They stumbled over him. One of these days, let me say this, one of these days, the nation of Israel is going to receive their Savior Jesus Christ, their Messiah. They aren't doing it right now, but they will someday. If you need proof for that, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 talks all about it. Stone of stumbling. Now the next one, and I'm in verse 8, and a rock of offense. A rock of offense would have reference to Israel again, offended in him. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Folks, what has happened to this rejected stone, Jesus Christ? Well, he rose up from the grave, and he has now become the head cornerstone of a spiritual building called the church, or the body of Christ. What a marvelous truth. You all sit here and you all raise your hand. I'm saved. I'm happy I'm saved and everything. Guess what? Peter says you have become a spiritual house. You are a spiritual house. And you all make up this house. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul, who was given great revelation to reveal this spiritual reality called the church or the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, various names given to it in Scripture. And in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 19, he describes this. And you'll notice there's a stone in the middle of it all, okay? And that stone is Jesus Christ. And we are like lively stones that kind of make up the building. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Hope you're there. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the, notice the way he refers to it, household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's what we already saw Peter talking about. He was one of the apostles. And established the doctrine that we are a lively stone and we're built upon the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Continues on, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Notice, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's a reference again to Psalm 118, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation or a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. All of us sitting here today who raised our hands said, I'm saved and I'm glad I'm saved. You know what we make up together as a group? A household of God. And not only that, he dwells in us. He dwells in us. If you're saved, he dwells in you. And all of us together make up that household of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not initiated into that reality by the vote of membership. You are initiated into that household of God the day you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The day you trust in him who rose up from the grave. He becomes the chief cornerstone of all who believe. All who've trusted in Jesus Christ are in that habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of denomination churches and things. They call themselves this name and that name and everything else. You know what is more important than all those names? Are you in the household of God through faith in Jesus Christ? If you're not, you need to. Because if you're not in there, you're no different than the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day who rejected the chief cornerstone. And people today who refuse to trust Jesus as the Savior, You're rejecting the chief cornerstone. And I'm here to call you to receive him as the one he wants to be for you, your Savior. And then ultimately, the chief cornerstone of the building that you're a part of when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is a marvelous thing, this church makeup. The rock of the church is not the Pope, okay? The rock, according to Matthew 16, is Jesus Christ. He's the rock of the church. Psalm 118 was not talking about a line of successive popes. It was talking about a man who was rejected, crucified, and risen again. He's the rock of the church, and you better be on that foundation. And then on top of that foundation, you have the apostles and prophets whom Jesus sent forth to teach us all about this. Paul being one of them who gave us the information about the mystery of the church age, which we will be talking about in subsequent Sunday school lessons for the adult Sunday school class. I encourage you to come to Sunday school, 9:30 on Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about that real soon. And it's a great truth that you need to grab a hold of. You know what I see here? I'll try to close this up here. Okay, that verse in Psalm 118 is in the Old Testament. You know, you can't divorce the Old Testament from the New Testament. You need the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. And you can't divorce the Gospels, the four Gospels, from the rest of the New Testament, because it has within it much of the mystery of the church age. It talks about it. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. It wouldn't be till the Apostle Paul comes along who teaches us what that's all about. What does that mean? You can't divorce the Old from the New Testament. You can't divorce the Gospels from the rest of the epistles in the New Testament. They fit together. They need each other. And so the invitation comes this way. What have you done with this rejected stone? Well, I don't know if I want to believe in a rejected stone. You better. Even though it might sound negative, the problem is not with the stone, it's with the people who would not receive the stone for what it is. And I would say, don't go with that crowd, or you'll end up in a place separate from all the rest. Receive this rejected stone, because even though they rejected him, they thought they got rid of him. Yeah, they thought they got rid of Jesus when he died on the cross. Ah, good. We're done with that. Oh, 3 days later, 3 nights later, guess what? Up from the grave he arose. And he is the Savior of every man who will believe in him. How about you? Don't keep rejecting the stone. He's become the head cornerstone. And he's going to be given all glory in years and ages to come. Why not be there with him? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't keep going on rejecting the gospel, rejecting Christ, or you'll end up like all the rest who rejected him. Trust in him today. To them which believe, Peter said, he has become a precious stone. A precious stone. That song, he is so precious to me. Right? For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. That's my Savior. Receive him today as your Savior if you haven't. If you've already seen him as your Savior, you ought to be sitting there. Boy, I'm glad I'm in on this. I'm glad that he's my chief cornerstone. And I'm part of the building. And we're going to heaven someday. He's going to take us all. You ever hear of the doctrine of the rapture? Did you ever hear of the word rapture? The world makes fun of it, but it's going to happen one of these days. I often wonder, how are they going to explain that when we're all gone? You know, what if the rapture happened right now? I'm sorry, I'm going over time now. Sorry about this. If the chicken is boiling right now, I hope it's not so hot. the rapture. What if the rapture happened right now? Do you realize what this place would be like? All your coats and ties and ladies' dresses and your hose and everything would be laying in the seat and we'd be gone. Imagine an unsaved person walking in here to check things out. You know, I haven't seen any activity around that church for a while. What happened? Come in here and see the evidence of our departure. Wouldn't that be, how would they explain this? Well, it must have been a UFO. It must have been unidentified. Some aliens came in. Yeah. No, we went up in the rapture. The whole household of God went up in the rapture. And by the way, that's not just going to be Baptist church members only. It's going to be all those who've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Right up out of here. So fast that, you know, there's not going to be any time. Whoa, wait a minute, Lord. I changed my mind. I don't reject you anymore. No, too late. It's going to be that fast. Gone. So you better be ready. Right now. If you're listening to me on the internet and you've not received this rejected stone, Jesus Christ, you need to do that right where you're at. Admit you're a sinner for whom Jesus died and trust him right now as your personal Savior. Those of you who are sitting here this morning, right where you're at, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Savior from sin, and he will save you. And you let me know afterward that you did that. That'd be the greatest thing you could ever, ever do. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the attention of these people, and I pray as some things would have entered into the heart this morning. Thank you so much for the chief cornerstone, who though rejected by men, he went to that cross to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that is to save us from our sin. Thank you for doing that. And now, for us who know the Lord as Savior, help us to go out of here happy as can be. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He rose up from the grave. And may we be willing to share this gospel with whoever will listen to us. Share what gospel? Share the gospel of a rejected stone that men must receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.